I wanted to mention to you a number of things. Admiral, I had to leave that meeting because we had these senators coming in. And I had to come late. I thought I should come to show because all the others were there. But I had to get a briefing, which I needed. So first, I saw Mansfield briefly and told him that you had personally approved his going to China, that we would personally intervene. He said, "I want to tell you something as a friend, Henry. You and the President have always been fair and honest with me. We have our differences, but we've always understood each other." He said, "I want to tell you as a friend, you're going to win this election." He said, "You can't." He said, "McGovern can't win it. The only thing that can happen is that you can lose it." I said, "Now, how can we lose it?" He said, "I'm just quoting him, I'm not endorsing him." He said, "By being abrasive." I said, "Now, do you mean we can't be abrasive at all?" He said, "No, you should be somewhat abrasive, but don't be consistently abrasive." I personally really thought what you said was beautiful at the meeting this morning. Just try and talk about the issues, don't talk about the guy.
I thought Cole Aikman today. We're going to announce tomorrow he's going to be on. We have to keep him. And you've got to steal the opposition before it builds up. We give a long lecture about this. And fortunately, he's coming. He's going to make a speech on the press again tomorrow. I said, "Look, you have a lecture to read it." I said, "No." I said, "Mitchell is here. Mitchell spoke up." He says, "Kid, I don't care what it is." He said, "They'll pick out a contact. I'm just going to say anymore about the press." So we'll cut that. I also told you not to be cute. I said, "Don't be cute."
So then I talked to this group of eight senators. Benson, Stevens, Cooper.
What Benson was concerned about are people getting too rough. Now you understand, there's one group we can't control. We can't control these labor guys.
Oh, and he won't blame us for
that. They're going to get
him out. Oh, that's going on. No one will blame us for the labor guys.
But I will say
I'm reporting.
Exactly.
Well, then I had this meeting with these eight senators. And I had not been meeting with senators on Vietnam for 4 years nearly. But this was like, they were like pussycats. I said to them, "Gentlemen, I'm not going to say anything. I will say nothing about the negotiations. I'll say it in front of Senator Mansfield. I do not see what good the Mansfield Amendment can do. And it might do damage. I will also tell you, if the negotiations may fail, with or without the Mansfield Amendment. So I'm not saying that if you don't pass it, they'll succeed. I'm not saying that if you do pass it, they will fail. But I do not see how you can responsibly pass it now, when it cannot do any possible good." Mansfield was sitting there, and he spoke first. He says, "I want to say to this group what I've just told Henry privately. President and I have always understood each other. We respect each other." He said, I'm not pushing this amendment. It's before you. I'm not trying to round up the votes. But I tell you honestly, I don't think I have the horses." So then we faced this problem, Mr. President. Some of our people were trying to get Stennis to come up with an amendment to the Mansfield Amendment.
Scott mentioned it to me.
To put a ceasefire in it. Now, I feel very strongly that we should vote the Mansfield Amendment up or down. Vote to strike it. And here's my reasoning. If it passes, I don't think it makes a hell of a lot of difference in Paris. What these guys in Paris are
wanting. That was already preempted that ground, the Senate action.
That's right. What the guys in Paris are watching is the McGovern percentage. If you win the election, it doesn't make a goddamn bit of difference what the Senate has voted. On the other hand, if they voted and the negotiations fail, we can then say the week after the negotiations started, these guys voted the Mansfield Amendment. We never had a chance. So I've strongly urged our congressional people to get Stennis off his amendment, if you agree with it.
I agree totally. They let up both the Mansfield Amendment or not.
That's my
idea for them. Let them take the responsibility. Let that son of a bitch McGovern and these others get on that too.
That's my
idea. I couldn't agree more, totally.
strong
suit. Manitou Lumber now, that's the order.
That's my strong suit. Next, I had lunch with McCarthy. It's absolutely astonishing. He is what he's saying about McGovern is so unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. He said what McGovern reminds him of, there's a line in poetry about the childish grin of the innocent. And that's, he said, that's McGovern for us. The childish laughter of the innocent. And that's McGovern, he said. And he said there should be an investigation. He said everyone investigates Catholics or Jews for high office. He said the most unsuitable religion for high office are the Methodists, because that's an entirely political religion. I'm quoting him. It's an entirely political religion. He said he's violently opposed to their domestic program. He said all these economic advisors that McGovern has around him hung around the fringes of his campaign, and I said those are the sort of madmen you let write a paper and then you throw them off your campaign. He said, and this guy steps right out and reads their programs. He just couldn't be stopped. He said, now he wants to pull troops out of Europe. I'm violently opposed to pulling troops out of Europe. And he said, now let's talk about Vietnam. He said, I'll do anything to help you end the war more quickly. And I said, what do you object to in the Vietnam platform? He said, they are innocents. They don't know what they're talking about. He said, we can't just turn Vietnam over to the communists. I've never said that. I said we should get out, but I didn't say we should turn it over. Well, that happens to be our position.
It's a long time since. Remember when he used to say that went far. But now
we've come to his position. And he said, why don't we have an election and fix the election in certain ways? But I couldn't tell him that we agreed with it. So he said, anything I can do. So I said, look, at some point, if we make a real proposition to them, it's premature, we're not yet at that point. And I think that might do us some good. You might want to take a personal trip to Paris and talk to them and tell them that you, as the father of the peace movement, think this is a good move.
Very good.
And he said, I'll do that. And he said, and what's more, I will give you public protection in this country for those positions, if you take them. And he said they're a cold-eyed bunch of bastards. He said they treated him as if we were a total pariah down there.
Very Miami.
Yeah. It's very interesting. These guys are really stupid. I mean, I don't know why he's so vain. He said he wanted to be helpful. He said he has a contribution to make on Latin American policy. He said he's keeping his personal plans flexible, and I said, I can tell you, I know for a fact, God forgive me, and I said, I know the president has very high regard for you. He said, we've always thought of you as one of the most original minds in this country.
Yeah.
And
it's
after, but now I'm seeing Howard Stein on Monday. Then I thought we'd have to run after that. on the 14th, and I'll bring Porter along. Everyone will think, you know, it's a pure gimmick. But with Porter along, and then I won't meet until September 9th, the day before I go to Russia.
Go on away.
Right, I just want to tell you my thinking. You see, we get Porter there, everyone will figure something has happened. I have a good excuse not to go because the Republican convention, then you'll be on the West Coast, I'll be with you. Japanese meeting. I've told Stay to make an inquiry, and I've got Tanaka's position, but I've already got Tanaka's approval. So.
Well, incidentally, I told Arrow today that we were interested in this before he took off. We'd probably get right back to Stay, if that's all right.
No, that's all right. I told Stay you were thinking about it.
Well,
that's yesterday.
Right. Good.
No, we're in good shape. And.
Yeah,
we'll hear Monday. So, I think I talked to Jerry Schechter today at time. I said, Jerry, I just won't tell you anything. I said, you speculate away. You write all your stuff about this approach or that approach. I'll just give you this consolation. Anyone in this town who talks to you doesn't know anything.
Sure.
I think the more mystery we can do.
Let me ask you a couple of things. What's the situation? That goddamn Swede.
We hit one sluice gate in a dike near Hanoi.
This is the dike. This is the stuff they're showing, hitting civilian parts of Hanoi and all that sort of thing. I don't trust the Swede.
Well, in Oberg, the...
I know who it is. But they ran an NBC last year in 1970. I hired them for you.
So I don't
know. It's worth it. Anyway, maybe there's nothing we can do about it to knock it down, but I just think it...
Wait till you come into South Vietnam. because they suffer tremendous casualties to the few B-52s we use up there. Second, they are now doing all the time what you got occasionally done last year. They're using as many as 90 B-52s in one place.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Second, they are using the 320th Train Division. It's a division that has never fought. That's always been used for training. That's coming down. And after this next battle, if they take away, they may then, that would still be useful. But if they don't take away, even if they take Quang Tri back, which is quite possible, it's just not enough.
If, well, what the hell would they, our doesn't have Quang Tri, guys.
It has three-fourths of it. All they don't have is the citadel. It's the center of town where they have these heavy walled fortifications like in Hue. And they're not making a head-on attack on it.
Sure, just our mouth.
So actually,
well, what I would say, I'm not concerned about the 570 casualties. My point is that if they're taking that much, they must be grinding hell out of the army. If the army enemy on the offensive takes 577 the north without any air, the North Vietnamese on the offensive must be taking 1,000 casualties a week without question.
Oh, much more. The North Vietnamese, according to our estimates, have suffered 60,000 deaths since this offensive started, so you have to figure another 60,000 wounded at least. And they've taken nothing. They've not taken Khartoum, and Lac Da Rang is now really open.
You know, the sad thing about it all, you see these Vietnamese, these pleasant, nice face people, north or south, they're all the same. And you see their little children. And it's just a goddamn shame that this war goes on, isn't it? It's just a goddamn shame.
I have thought up a rather ingenious proposal, Mr. President. I know it sounds self-serving, but a rather ingenious one.
Sure.
I want to think it over the weekend.
Sure.
It's a modification of your January 25th one, but it has a few gimmicks in there that are face-saving for them. It's at least enough for them not to turn down right away. And then the meeting after, and I'll present that next time if you approve it. Then the week, then the following meeting, I'll offer them some understanding, such as two more drums. And with all of those understandings and that proposal, we'll be in a magnificent position. Either they'll settle, or we'll go public again and kill them.
Yeah, I think you ought to tell them, perhaps you've already done that. Strong and dignified. A government looks like a weak component. to you.
To me, absolutely. And I think actually,
I don't know what it is.
If we can keep McGovern from gaining momentum but until before October 1st, I think there's nothing. He won't close it then. And I think we've now found a formula to keep this. Oh, another thing, I talked to the Premier today. And he just confirmed my visit and expressed appreciation. He brought a draft treaty on this nuclear thing, which we can't quite accept yet, but it's moving towards that. What the Trump officials are doing with that treaty is they've now put in a clause that covers NATO, so that the renunciation of nuclear weapons. So the one country it leaves out is China. What it in effect says is they can use nuclear weapons against China. They can attack China and we can't use nuclear weapons against them.
Oh boy.
So I didn't use that. I said, now, supposing we landed troops in India, would you be precluded from using nuclear weapons against us under this treaty? He said, yes, that's the one contingency it covers. So we've got to fix that. But you can see what their game is. But at any rate, I said, supposing we come to an agreement on this treaty, our thought is to sign it at the end of September. He said, I thought it would do you some more good if we signed it in October. And we are prepared to sign it in October.
It's better.
Okay.
Over for the last 3 weeks.
As far as I'm concerned,
come over and run the rest of the campaign.
I just didn't want to be blatant about it. If this guy offers signing it in October, and if it suits your purpose, and they've agreed, well, they'll put it on satellite. You and Bresnev are signing it jointly, announcing. Mansfield told me he didn't have to vote.
Yeah. But the point is Mansfield is spiteless because he has to. But he's delighted about voting China.
Oh, Mansfield, and isn't that what he told me privately? Here he was sitting with 10 senators. He just did the absolute minimum. He said, I'm not trying to round up votes. I've had my name on amendments for the last 2 years. I can't suddenly take my name off now. He said, but I'm not rounding up votes. I don't think I have to vote.
His whole point that he made to Henry Clinton was he said, we in the presence of a losing election. Unless we are too aggressive. And he was just
he said, McGovern can't win the election. You can lose it.
Yeah.
I said, how are we going to lose it? He said, by being abrasive. I said, you mean we can't be abrasive at all? He said, no, but you shouldn't be consistently abrasive. I'm just telling you what it is. I think what you said
is the term that not a term, as you notice, is very well. We can't say McGovernites. That's not being racist. That crawler there is.
In fact, it gives a lot.
Mansfield would like that, I would think. Instead of lumping all those Democrats.
Well, Mansfield wants to leave on election day for China. And he said, we're going to win, and he wants to work with us. And again, he didn't just say this in my office when he talked to these senators. He gave no support to his own amendment. He just sort of said, well, we've got to vote on it because it's in the bill now. How can I take it out? But frankly, as I said to the president, I think we're better off if they pass it. If it comes to that, then if we get a compromise, because if they pass it, we can kill it in the house. We can kill it in the house, and we can blame them for having sabotaged the negotiations.
Listen, the best thing is to have the Mansfield on in its worst possible form. Have McGovern vote for it.
That's right.
McGovern needs. Now let's face it, that's sort of make this issue. But we have told Ed, he knows, just told him, had caught him in the nick of time, that he was going to make another speech against the press in Portland tomorrow.
Frank Sinatra called me today.
Unbelievable. It's really tough. And frankly, I must say, Mitchell did a good job. Mitchell just said,
you stepped right in and held tight. You just
can't do it. He said, you can't do it.
Frank Sinatra called me today from Monte Carlo, and you apparently called him the other day. He just wanted to tell me how thrilled he was. He wants to come to the Republican convention to show his support for you. And apparently you had hinted to him that he might appear at some function.
Yeah. The Italian invited him to sing.
Oh, you invited him.
Oh, yeah.
He just said, I want you to know, Henry, if this thing comes off, I'm coming right back. And I said, well, it's not my department. Yeah, but
so as we get the entire dinner set up, he's going to be there. I have him do the acting.
Ask him to do his farewell
before. He did. I told him on the phone. President asked him, I said, I'd like you to do some of the songs from your farewell. I don't know what he did, but we just have to do the whole thing.
What he did on the farewell performance, he went through his whole career. It only takes half an hour, period. You know, he sang two songs from each period. Every period. And it was really masterful. Then he said, sang the song, I Did It My Way. And everyone thought, people were crying so much that you could hardly hear him. And when he was finished with that, everyone thought, now this is it, he's going to walk off. But then he was clever enough to put two other little songs at the end of that, and then he walked off and never came back, and I thought they were going to tear the house down.
I think we ought to ask him to do that on television.
It's a tremendously... The Secret Service guys were crying so much that it was... You wondered about your protection.
Well, anybody our age... And older.
Yes.
If you go back to the history of Sinatra, you really turn them on.
And it was a really, and he did it, he has this personality. This was an all-star evening, and Bob Hope had been on, Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, Barbara Streisand just preceded him. And you wonder, what in God's name can he do, the poor guy, to exceed them or even to match Barbara Streisand? And he stepped out all alone on that stage, and he took it over. And it was the most moving single performance I've ever seen. If he still got his voice, because as you say, and these songs didn't mean anything in my life, because
you weren't here.
I wasn't here for part of
it. Well, you weren't watching it like this. Oh,
but even I was moved.
Yeah.
And
you were here.
Well, 41.
You weren't watching it.
But it was.
Nevertheless.
I was a refugee, you know.
I wasn't in it.
Yeah. Well, Henry, good luck.
Right.
Got your share today.
I'll keep in touch with McCarthy. I don't know what this crazy bastard is going to tell the press. He may say I turned out to a recovery. You handle it well.
Got our poll. Approval is 58-31. Our last one was 57-33 in May. That was the last time we did one.
So our approval is down from actually.
No, up.
Yeah, but down from, that's the Moscow thing shoved it up, all other polls.
But Gallup, the last Gallup, which was just a few days before.
Was 56?
No. It was 56, the end of the latter part of June.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about a little ballpark.
So we're a little higher than Gallup. Approve or disapprove of the way the president handled Vietnam is 55-35, which is higher than it's been for a long time. The election will be held today by the trial heat, Nixon McGovern, 54-27, with 19 undecided. Now, Gallup's last one is 56-37, with 7 undecided in a two-way.
This is better than ours.
Ours is better than Gallup's.
Yeah.
Because there's more undecided.
Yeah, but the undecided is basically our... What's the show of the three-way?
Yeah, the three-way is 42-25-21. still 12 on the side.
4225, 95, 17. Our poll shows us better off than Gallup does.
We lose 12 and he loses 12. Then we both lose 12 with Wallace.
Wallace hurts each of you?
Hurts us each 12 points. No, I'm wrong. I'm hurts us 12 points, it only hurts him 2 points.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's not just the 30 side. I like that.
That's the poll to show the...
Sure. Then we ask the Nixon Agnew versus McGovern Eagleton.
Yeah.
That's 54-29. There's no difference.
Not much drag. 2 point drag.
We ask the straight Gallup question, do you favor the death penalty? So we can get a trend. And it's 50-40. 50 favor, 40 opposed.
Right.
That's the same as Gallup got in March. He got 50-41.
Yeah.
Back in 1953, he got 68-25.
Right.
But in recent years, it's been 50-40 consistently.
Right.
69
it
was 50-40. 71 it was 50-49. And we said, do you favor death penalty for persons convicted of murder of a police officer? 60% yes. For kidnapping, 39. Hijacking an airplane, 38. So it goes down. Then we poked around with this some other ways. We said Supreme Court's recent rule kept the punishment now is administered in the U.S. as unconstitutional. Do you agree or disagree with the Supreme Court? Agree 32, disagree 56. Do you think the Supreme Court decision to outlaw death penalty will or will not result in more serious crimes in the U.S.? 57 will, 29 will not. Then we asked the amnesty question. Some people have said that we should grant amnesty, that is, we should forgive any violations of the law to those who left the country or took other illegal action to avoid serving in armed forces services during the Vietnam War. Do you agree or disagree with the granting of amnesty to these people? 23 agree, 65 disagree. It's 3-1. And we got an open-ended first thing that comes to your mind when you think George McGovern, I don't have the answers on that. But then we said, do you agree or disagree with the following proposals made by Senator George McGovern? We should withdraw all our troops from Indochina immediately and take on faith that the North Vietnamese will release our POWs. 30 agree, 62 disagree. Government should give $1,000 a year to every man, woman, and child in the U.S. and pay for this by increasing taxes for everyone earning more than $12,000 a year. Agree, 16, disagree, 76.
That's a hard one to hit on.
Marijuana should be legalized and controlled along the same lines as alcohol. That we give it to them easy, we just didn't say legalize marijuana, we say control along the same lines as alcohol. Agree 25, disagree 70. But there should be no legal restrictions on abortion in the U.S. And we had Buchanan assisted because it's the way McGovern's playing. It should be a matter solely between the woman and her doctor. Agree 60, 33 disagree. And our other poll shows that we're wrong on abortion. They agree with him on abortion.
This makes us right.
No, it makes us wrong. There should be no legal restriction on abortion. They agree.
Yeah. My view is on that. We should make that issue. We made it with the cat. Right now, I can talk about that. Do you feel that you and people like yourself were really representative of the Democratic National Convention?
Yes 41, No 42. So that all they're pitching about representation of people didn't get them very much. Did the Democratic Convention reflect a real change in American politics, or was it politics as usual? Real change 35, politics as usual 52. So they didn't score a lot of new policy questions. Yeah, but we put the table all that. They can do 25, and that's on the 17th.
How many did we use?
How many samples of this? 1,038. It's a good sample. I mean, you know, it's enough to get a reading.
Part of the time.